You are listening to Supernatural Confessions, where it is a safe place for you to confess all your experiences, be it supernatural, myths, urban legends, superstitions, or even the unknowns. And as a team, we'll compile and feature your confessions on our platform. Share with us your story through our Facebook page or website. You just need to search supernaturalconfessions.com. I'm Kim, your host for this podcast series, and now let's get on to the confessions. Okay, we are back with our Friday night live, but still we're going to carry on with our Wednesday podcast, whereby we're just going to tell you confessions without dissecting it. The first confession for this Wednesday, it's part two of Tom's story. If you don't remember Tom's story, do refer back to the last episode of our Wednesday podcast, whereby Tom is having a vacation together with his family in Sumatra. And here it's part two. The next day, it was clear none of us had a good night's sleep. Most of us had dreams of drowning, very vivid, because they even tasted the lake water, and woke up coughing and choking. One of my female cousins woke up in a dream and she said the room had no roof, and on the ceiling she saw people walking and singing. My uncle, who fell in the lake, remember, was violently sick the whole night, sweating and puking out lake water. And in that puke, my aunt could see wood and sand in the content. Another uncle, who was also very stubborn, also plucked a small papaya from a tree nearby, and when he cut it open, it was completely rotten inside. And that attracted a lot of flies. And obviously, he got a good nag from my auntie. The more they opened the door to let the flies out, the more flies came in. Eventually, they just slept under the covers with the flies in the room. It was their children that was affected most. As they screamed, the flies went into their eyes, ears, nose, and hair. And all of this just happened in one single night. And I don't know if it was just group pressure or fatigue, but we all stayed the final night too. Since we had a day of sightseeing anyway, we decided to just focus on that. Strangely, while we were away from the lake and resort, we all felt better. But by the time we were on the bus back, we all seriously dreaded it. I remember it till today, like sitting for an exam. My stomach was in knots. But the final night itself was quiet. Myself had a drowning or shallow submerged dream and a strange sensation while showering. It was the one and only time in my life I felt it, but it was like my hands were not mine. I don't really know how to explain it. So even as I was shampooing my head, it was not my hands. I decided not to freak out, quickly finish and get out of the bathroom and join my cousins for activities. It was only many, many years later when I spoke to my youngest aunt, who cut her hair that night, that she said it was like other people's hand moving, not her hands. And shortly after that, she does not even remember what she did or said. To this day, she does not fully remember the incident, but we all believe she was possessed, especially my late grandfather, who knew she was acting differently and immediately called us for help. The food they served us was also very strange. Everywhere else on the tour, we ate local Minangkabau dishes, which was spicy, dry roasted or dry baked. But then it was flavorful and robust. The resort only served clear soups, either lamb or chicken. And in the morning, we were only given porridge and egg with minced chicken. In the soup and porridge, they either garnish or cook it with this flour. Why I knew? Because it was floating in the soup and I recognized it. It was also in the porridge. For a lake resort, there was no fish served. But only seafood was a braised eel tonic. It was dark in color, and one of us who tasted it said it was pungent and salty. It was supposed to be added to dishes as a condiment, but it was made of eel, which were like, we were so far inland. Where does the eel come from, if not the lake? The final strange thing before we left was that morning before checked out, we got a very solemn briefing by a staff. He addressed us all and apologized for the events that transpired. Looking back, he apologized, but he never shared the disbelief that we all shared. He was cool, calm, and collected. He simply was sorry that it happened, but was completely accepting, even reassuring that everything was normal. Before ending, he said that we must return anything we took from the resort. One of my aunts, which was a bit more fiery tempered, immediately flared up. After such an unpleasant stay, she was on the edge of being triggered. The tour guide had to step in to calm her down and clarify that it was not an accusation of stealing. What the staff meant was, nothing was meant to be taken. One by one, items were surrendered on the wooden table. A leaf, a stone, a few flowers. At the end, the table had about 10 to 12 items. It was unprecedented that a resort would not allow us to take any mementos. But also looking at the items, they were so random and not even special. One of my cousins said she don't even remember taking the stone. But the stone's size and shape I remember is the same as those on the lakeshore itself. How could she not remember going down to the shoreline to pick it? Especially after all the craziness of the past 48 hours. Eventually, we all left the resort and after that, soon left the fog behind. Thinking back about the place, I still don't have a 100% certain explanation of what happened. Indonesia has a deep connection to their natural landscapes, mountains, volcanoes, lakes, and so on, that are pre-Buddhist, pre-Islam, some even animistic, as I later studied in my own career. But many years later, I still could never pinpoint anything specific about the area outside of our shared experience there, outside of a local myth of the lake itself. The lake is called Maninjau, and it is a crater lake formed by volcano. It is still there today, and when I searched Google Maps for the resort, it was either refurbished or closed down. There is one listing that still reminds me of the resort, but I don't think I could share it, for I'm not certain. For me till today, Indonesia is a land of many layers and many faces, and the locals never truly share what is the reality, especially when you are perceived as outside person or foreigner. You are listening to Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you have your own confession, do share it with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Remember, you are not alone. Okay, there goes Tom's story. I do not know why, but I have a feeling that if Tom's family were to bring back those items, the stone, the leaves, things that are not even special, something else would have happened to their family back home. Next confession we have, it's from Hida. Hi everyone, I am usually a silent reader, but thinking to share some supernatural stories that I've encountered, here is one of those. I was in my early 20s, three of my female ex-colleagues and I went on a weekend getaway to Berastangi, one of the highlands district of North Sumatra, Indonesia. We booked one hotel room and had two queen-size beds, so two people would sleep on each bed. It was a very long day, all of us slept before 12 a.m. On a note, I am a very heavy sleeper. Around 3 a.m, I do know the time is because I usually have the habit of wearing my watch to sleep. I heard the shower tap was turned on. It must be really distracting to be able to wake me up from my deep sleep. My sleeping position was facing the window, the opposite direction of the bathroom location. So meaning to say that the bathroom is behind me. So I thought to myself, any of the two ladies who slept the closest to the bathroom must be in there. Miss C is sleeping with me. So it couldn't be her, it's because she was still there sleeping next to me. But I couldn't see her because I had my back on her and the rest of the room. So the tap was on for a while and I was thinking it was weird of any of those ladies to shower 3 a.m. in the morning, especially when it was cold outside. When I tried to go back to sleep, then I heard the sink tap was turned on as well. And this whole thing happened for about 20 minutes. Then, I felt Miss C got up from the bed, spoke to herself. Who forgot to turn off the tap? And walked to the bathroom to turn all the taps off. At this point, I knew she got up from the bed, as I could feel it, but I still don't have my sight on her. I am still facing the other side. At this point of time, I've already felt discomfort, but I was still trying to be as logical as possible. It could be due to water leaking, out of order, or someone really forgot to turn off the taps. Then, I could hear the taps turn off. I thought Miss C had gotten it sorted. Then, when she returned to bed, the shower and the sink taps were turned back on, and also the toilet flushed by itself, all happening at the same time. Immediately, I got goosebumps. Then, she moved so close to me and told me, "There is something wrong here. The tap turned on by itself again." She then started to pray, and I whispered, asking her, "When you turn off the taps, did you see anything?" She replied, "I was only halfway through the bathroom door, but the taps switched off by itself." The other two ladies were sleeping on the bed. No one was in the bathroom. I started to pray myself while the toilet activities were still going on, and eventually I fell asleep. Then I felt like I was awake and could see a dark figure was sitting on my chest. The figure had big eyes, sharp teeth, and kept staring at me. If you need an image, it kind of reminded me of the Barong. But this one somehow looked evil. I panicked. I could see everything in the room as if I was awake, but I couldn't move and I couldn't get up. Skeptics would say this is a sleep paralysis, but I'm sure supernatural activity play part as well. I tried to pray constantly in my heart, and in the end I managed to get up with pale face and full of sweat. Glad that we only stayed for one night and we checked out as early as possible. Here at Supernatural Confessions, we would like to remind you, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there. Another story from Indonesia. Thank you very much, Shida, for that confession. Once again, to our listeners of Supernatural Confessions, if you have your own stories to share, remember to send it to us. Next, we have a confession by Yun Zhong Lang. Although it's a Chinese name, or maybe it's just a Chinese nickname, but the title of the story is A Hard Time Dying with Suso. Have you heard about the rumor on how a royalty across the causeway passed away? This is a story shared by a Dayang to my late grandmother. She used to live along a road where many family quarters or houses that serve the royal house. This particular story was shared by one old lady who used to take care of her on her deathbed. This particular royalty married into a former sultan as his second consort. She was beautiful in respect of her age of nearly 90 years old. According to her Dayang, before she was married to the sultan, she had diamond susok implanted, hence she was able to seduce her future spouse. The problem is that upon her deathbed, the dukun that helped her was a very powerful person, but died before her. Hence, nobody was able or capable enough to remove her suso. For 2 years or so, her body was actually dead. per se. It was rotting with bad odor, but her soul couldn't leave the body, so to speak, that it still required food, which was much later on through the help of a Chinese temple which is located near the beach that a suitable dukun was later found that could remove the curse and that royalty was able to pass on in peace. Henceforth, only in the stead there are better tolerance of other religious faith compared to the rest. I was also told that the temple also received a big piece of land around the existing plot as appreciation. For those who need more explanation about Suso, remember to refer back to our previous episode or just go to our YouTube channel and search for Suso. If you wanted to share with us your confessions, feedbacks, comments, or you think there is a way that our contents can be improved, visit us at www.supernaturalconfessions.com and send all of it to us there. A gentle reminder for those who have missed our Friday Night Live. We are back on every Friday. Remember to catch us on Facebook and also on our YouTube channel. Just search for Supernatural Confessions, where Eugene, myself, Joe, and also Sonia sit down with you to listen to supernatural encounters from our confessors. The next story is from Ken, and this is edited by Kira Wong. Hi, my name is Ken, and I believe I'm born with a third eye. My mom died when I was 4, and when I was between the ages of 6 to 12 years old, several incidents happened that made me realize I was different. For example, my brother would tell me that I often mumble in my sleep, and he would ask me who I was talking to, which I would reply, "Mother," but nobody could see her beside me. In our home, my dad had 2 stone lions placed inside a display case, and at night, I was the only one who noticed that their eyes would suddenly glow green. At 21 years old, I rented my own place and moved out, and my house was located at Block 86C in Toa Payoh. At this block, the 3rd floor was a common linkway, and there are no houses on this floor. One night, I finished my job at a restaurant, and I remember it was past 1 a.m. when I got home. Instead of taking the lift, I decided to climb the stairs up to 5th floor, where I lived. You know, a few steps in your life would never hurt you, but only do you good. When I had reached the 3rd floor, I heard voices calling my name. And beckoning me to enter the dark linkway. Without stopping, I ran up the stairs all the way back home. After that, I moved to my second house. My second house was located at Toa Payoh, Lorong 2. And whilst living there, I would often see shadows following me home. I would also frequently hear heavy chains moving outside my house, and I was told that those were the sounds of hell guts coming for the dying. And the last one, 3rd house, was located at Toa Payoh Lorong 1, and it faced Bishan Road. Every day, I would come home around noon after my tuition, and I would always see the figure of an elderly man exercising at fitness corner. However, whenever I reach my house on the 3rd floor and look out of the kitchen window, I would find no one is at the exercise corner. On another occasion, I took a holiday and went on a cruise ship with my sister-in-law. She decided to go to the casino and I was left alone in the room. I was watching TV, that's when I heard knocking on the front door. I opened the door only to find nobody outside. Next, I heard the knocking coming from the toilet door. It was then that I knew a spirit was actually disturbing me. I ignored it and decided to go to sleep. That night, I had a dream. In my dream, an ugly lady with white long hair came charging towards me. I quickly call out God's name and the lady disappeared. Last year, my friend went to Thailand and on that trip, she visited a shop selling pendants. That night, she starts to hear voices and quickly called me and told me what was happening. She asked if I could pray for her. In my visions, I saw a little kid latching on her and I immediately prayed for it to go away. Beyond all these experiences, every year during the 7 months, I would also hear evil spirits' voices beckoning me to join my mother in hell. I would also frequently see evil spirits lurking behind people, but would not interfere unless I was asked for help. You are listening to Supernatural Confessions Podcast. If you have your own confession, do share it with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Remember, you are not alone. There you have it. Thank you very much, Kara, for the rephrasing, and also Ken with the story. Next, we're going to read out a story from Kelvin. When I was at the age of 10 to 12 years old, I used to live near my school at some old-looking houses at some leasehold cluster at Petaling Jaya. This is in Malaysia. These houses are all linked single-story houses and the road that led you to the houses comes to a dead end. And at the dead end, there would only be footpath whereby people can walk through but cars would not be able to cross it. So walking back from school during evening sometimes can be a little creepy. Anyway, the story starts when I was around 12. And this happens during Ghost Festival month, that is 7th month in the lunar calendar. I was with my brother playing in our room roughly around 10 o'clock at night. Our neighbor's dog and all the stray dogs around the neighborhood suddenly started to howl simultaneously. It was as if they saw something. I remember when the howling started, it was very creepy because all the hair behind my neck was standing up, and because all the dogs howled simultaneously, it was very loud. My younger brother, who was then 8 years old, was so freaked out he dropped all his toys that he was playing with and ran to me. I remember he was so scared that he was hugging me, patting my back instead of me patting his. So I told him, "It's okay, Ade, it's okay, it's fine, don't be silly, everything is gonna be fine." Which later, around 2 a.m. in the morning, I remember I couldn't sleep well because I was thinking about the incident earlier. Even though I was 12, I knew something was very unnatural about all dogs howling at the same time. I remember it was 2 something because my bed was facing a clock. I was just staring at the clock thinking, then suddenly, all the dogs around the neighborhood started howling again. I was thinking, oh no, there must be something outside. And after a while, just as the howling stopped, I felt someone touching me on my left side of my arm, like a gentle breeze and lightly. I was so freaked out, I opened my eyes to look what is it, but there was nothing there. You might be thinking how I can see because my room had a window and lights from my house dining area kind of provide a little light into my bedroom. I was very scared and I turned to face the wall on my right and covering my whole body with blanket. And that is when I felt something touching me on my back. I continued to hid under the blanket and try my very best to sleep. Somehow, I fell asleep, but that was one hell of a creepy night for me. The next day when I woke up, I can still remember how the touch felt like. It felt like somebody was running their fingers on you. It's just that you couldn't see them. here at Supernatural Confessions, we would like to remind you, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there. Okay, next confession comes from Gerald. According to Gerald, this may or may not be a ghost encounter experience. However, the experience is filled with mystery and it still baffles me until today. Listeners, you be the judge for this story. Years back, this happened in Malaysia. I was with my friend to celebrate our junior's birthday party at a condominium. The birthday party held at an open area and it was a buffet-style birthday party. So me and my friend picked up some food, looked for a place to sit to munch on our food. We were looking around, but there were no place for us to sit. There were quite a lot of people around, I guess. So we walk up to the upper level of the condominium where there are benches for us to sit down and enjoy our food. Not sure why, there were nobody around at the time, and there were just us at this one particular level. We are separated from the crowd and just the two of us enjoying our food at that level. A few minutes later, an Indian boy, I am guessing he's around 3 to 4 years old, riding his bicycle, and he approached us. He stopped right in front of us and began questioning us. The first question he asked, where do you stay? I just simply gave an answer, a random location actually, because I don't want to tell him the truth. And to be honest, I just want him to continue with his bicycle ride. Then the next question sounded weird and it hit me that he might not be a normal kid. He proceeded to ask, what car do you drive and what's your car plate number? I just simply answered, boy, it's a Thai-made car with a Thai plate number. Then he kept on pestering us. Tell me, what's your car number? What's your car plate number? Then he got me thinking, why is this kid so desperate to know our car plate number? Yet again, I answer him politely, boy, it's a Thai number plate. I can't read it. My friend gave him the same answer too. At this point, I'm basically just lying to the kids as I felt more questions coming up from him and it is getting more and more suspicious. The kid has no facial expression while speaking with us so far. Then he proceeded to ask us to play a game, a staring game. We will stare into each other's eyes for as long as we can without blinking our eyes. So I accepted the challenge and we started staring with each other for about a minute. Not even me or the kid blinked, not even once. After a minute, the kid just turned over to my friend and did the same staring game at him. Neither my friend or the kid blinked their eyes as well. After all the staring game is done, the kid said he needed to go off. He rode off his bicycle and off he goes. Right after that, for a few seconds, I get up from my seat quickly and I followed his trail. He went off to another side of the condominium, but it was a very dark corridor. I stopped and I didn't proceed further. Because when I look at the whole corridor stretch, it was dark and I was feeling uneasy to continue chasing the kid. I turned back and walked back to my friend who was sitting alone at the bench waiting for me. I said to him, bro, the kid we met just now, don't you feel it's a bit strange? Could it be a wandering spirit? After I said that, we both got goosebumps and we quickly ran down to join back with the crowd. If you wanted to share with us your confessions, feedbacks, comments, or you think there is a way that our contents can be improved, visit us at www.supernaturalconfessions.com and send all of it to us there. What do you think? Could it be just a normal Indian boy riding his bicycle around the condominium area? Or could it be really, like how Gerald say, a wandering spirit? For the next confession, we have it from Robert. When I was in my younger days, I used to be quite a skeptic about all this supernatural stuff and would tend to brush it off that these things can be scientifically explained. I'm sure most of you will ever encounter an occasion wherein you can see some figures or shadows from the corner of your eyes. The reasons for this can vary from mental issues to alcohol or drug abuse, among a lot more other issues. However, one incident happened to me that makes me rethink that there are things that really cannot be explained rationally. This happened to me during my reservist days. I have a camp mate, let's call him P, who have the third eye. He told me he was born with it, and since young, he was able to see a small boy in his own house. During meal, he would always scoop his rice and some food and put it on a separate plate for his friend to eat. When questioned by his parents, who, by the way, are not those superstitious type, he would always answer that it's for the gogo besides him. Gogo here means older brother. Thinking that their son have some mental issues, they brought him to see a psychiatrist, but they couldn't find anything wrong with him. As he grew older, his parents somehow resigned to the fact that their son can see things and accepted it. I was in the Air Force. At that time, P and myself were storemen by vocation. The place that we were being assigned to is located deep inside the airbase, and normally we would need to drive a jeep there. It would usually take around 10 to 15 minutes. Our duties mainly were to look after the field equipments there, and we would have to stay overnight, usually. Sometimes, while driving up there, P would stop in the middle of the road. When questioned, he would just say it in a very chilled manner, that there's just an old lady crossing the road. Now, this was in the middle of nowhere, and surrounding areas were just trees. Well, me being me then, I just thought that he was just trying to scare me, because I don't really believe in ghosts. So I would just pretend to be scared, so that I don't offend him, and also to respect him too. But on one fateful night, while performing our duties, suddenly we can hear stray dogs howling and barking at one particular room. P and I went to investigate that room for any intruders, because you know, it's our duty, but there was nobody in that room. As I was walking away from the room, from the corner of my eyes, I saw a middle-aged, or rather an old man, sitting inside, like as though he was staring angrily at me. Dismissing it as a visual hallucination, I just walked away. However, I noticed that P's face suddenly turned pale. Bro, faster leave this room. I wanna go watch my drama series. And then I answered, okay, but why your face suddenly turned pale? You saw something in the room, is it? Old woman again, huh? Then P said, nothing lah. it's just that I wanna watch the series, so come, let's go. And I thought to myself, he said he can see those spirits, but could it be bluffing? If he can see them, surely he will tell me what I see from the corner of my eyes, right? Well, how wrong I was when we were having breakfast the next morning. During breakfast, P mentioned to me that yesterday night he saw something in the room, but he didn't tell me because he heard from his buddy that if they ever encounter any spirits at night, don't mention it until the next day. Now, I didn't mention to him anything or what I saw the previous night. P then told me what was inside the room when we were investigating. He saw an old man sitting on a chair and he was staring angrily at me. However, instead of eyes, there were only just empty sockets. You are listening to Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you have your own confession, do share it with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Remember, you are not alone. So, how does P know the exact same thing that Robert saw the night before without Robert telling him anything? meaning to say that P can actually really see this stuff. Hence, it changes Robert's belief. Okay, the next confession comes from Joshua. And this confession is actually posted with photos. So, if you wanted to look at the photo, just search for Joshua Chong. And the confession started like this. When I was around 9 to 11 years old, I lived in Setapa. Now, I no more longer live there because the old house has been demolished and made into an office. I remember on one particular night, it was around 9 to 9:30. I just came back from tuition after a whole day of waking up at 6 in the morning. As I was the last to enter the house, I was locking up everything. The entrance was in the kitchen. By the time, my mother who fetched me was already in her room and she left me by myself because I was usually the one who had to lock everything up. While locking up, at the corner of my eyes, I saw the exact same thing as shown in the picture. It was walking, to be exact, crawling with its back facing the floor. The eyes were black and hollow and had a mouth full of teeth like the wrecker. When I looked at it, it disappeared. I felt goosebumps but didn't want to run and didn't want to get scoldings from my mother. So I quickly locked everything up, I took a bath and I said some prayers. Till this day, I don't know what was it. But I'm sure it wasn't my imagination, since I was focusing on locking the door and was not dreaming. After I did some research, the Mexicans call them skinwalkers and are usually witches. But since I live in a quite Chinese area, I don't know what it was. So fellow listeners, take a look at the photo and tell us, what do you think? Do you have extra information about these creatures, what Mexicans call them skinwalkers? If you do, you know where to reach us. Here at Supernatural Confessions, we would like to remind you, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there. Okay, the next one comes from Jin, and it's not really a scary one. However, it is just something that happened in her family after the grandparents passed away. Here are some stories I heard from my family when my grandparents passed away. They passed away only 3 days apart. My grandfather was sick for a while and was hospitalized for quite some time. So when my cousin, who got married overseas, sent the videos of his wedding, which is back in those days, it was still in tape form, my grandfather didn't get to watch the video before he passed. My mother stored the wedding album and videos in a wardrobe in her bedroom. So during the funeral, that cousin of mine came back and stayed in that particular room. One morning, he woke up and told my mom that he heard rattling sounds from the wardrobe. Somehow, they thought it was my grandfather trying to get to the photos and videos of the cousin's wedding. For he was the eldest grandson and practically was raised by my grandparents. Perhaps grandfather just wanted to watch it before he leave. Another story regarding my grandparents' passing was from my uncle. The room he was sleeping in was on second floor, and there is a balcony attached to the one side of the room, and the other side is the door of the room which faces the staircase connecting the second floor and first floor. This happened after the funeral of both of my grandparents. He woke up in the middle of the night and was facing the balcony where he saw my grandmother walk past. He got scared and turned to the other side. That's when he saw my grandfather walking up the stairs. Honestly, when he recounted the story to us, we had a good laugh. Seems like my grandparents were just playing a little joke on my uncle. The final story happened after the funeral as well. My mom and my auntie were chatting in the living room on the first floor when my uncle came down and said, "Hey, you two, Pa is home." He was under the fan. I was 10 at the time, so the first thing I thought was my grandfather in spirit form sitting in the room upstairs. As I have all these images, freaky photos in my head, my mother told me to go to bed as it's a school day the following day. I was super reluctant, as although it was my grandfather, I am still scared of ghosts. But because I was told by my mother to get some rest, I slowly made my way up. That's when I saw it. A dragonfly underneath the blade of the ceiling fan. I felt so relieved. Thinking back, it was quite a funny story.
If you wanted to share with us your confessions, feedbacks, comments, or you think there is a way that our contents can be improved, visit us at www.supernaturalconfessions.com and send all of it to us there.
I have my own share of this kind of stories when my own grandparents pass away. But would we consider ourselves lucky because we get to see them that short bit before they will be gone forever? Now to continue, next we have a story posted by Huang, titled Automatic Window. It was in 2004 when I started as a property agent. Being new, I followed my manager, let's call him Michael here, around to learn the ropes. There was this HDB house he was selling in Versami Block 63X, Level 4. This is quite particular information, yeah? But I was just reading as how posted by Huang. To continue, I was told that the owner of the house died and her son is the administrator of the house, and Michael was engaged to help the son to sell the property off. He started to advertise the unit in the market, and of course, a few viewings of the property was arranged. I, of course, took the chance to attend the viewings too. That day was a Monday afternoon, I remember. A few families came to view the unit. I remember clearly that one of these families brought their 2-year-old baby girl along. The moment the toddler stepped into the house, she started crying non-stop, and the family left the house immediately after that. They did not even bother to ask any questions. And when they left, I heard them whispering to each other saying, 这个屋子不干净, meaning, this house is dirty. But I know they are trying to say the house is haunted. But I just kept quiet. Before we pack up and leave the house, Michael and I went around the house to switch off all the lights and close all the windows before we leave. We went downstairs and we took a puff, and while we were talking to each other, suddenly Michael asked me why I did not close the window of the master bedroom. I looked puzzled and looked up. The window was indeed not closed. Eh, Michael, I did close it leh. I remember I closed it what? I remember it was a sliding window, and I remember locking the latch even. Anyway, when we looked at the window, it was open. So we went up to the house again, unlocked the door and everything, and when we entered the master bedroom, the window was closed, and indeed, it was locked like how I remember it. The both of us looked at each other and did not say anything, and we quickly left the house. After that day, I did not follow Michael to that house anymore, but the house was eventually sold. But trust me, when I was a property agent, I did receive calls from potential buyers wanting to buy a haunted HDB unit or a unit which had someone who died in it. They said they're not afraid and they don't care. Well, I guess it's good that houses like that would eventually be sold off, right?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you have your own confession, do share it with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Remember, you are not alone.
If it's you, would you stay in the houses like that? either that it is haunted or somebody actually die of an unnatural cause like committing suicide. Would you stay in a house like that? The next confession comes from Evelyn Ho. I was walking afternoon shift at Mount A somewhere between 1988 or 1989. One night before I ended my shift before 9 p.m, I was asked to get a bag of blood from the blood bank by a senior of the ward. I took the lift down to the basement, and when I reached the counter, the light was off and no one was there. "Hello? Hello?" I called out, but no reply. So I waited along the alley, and then I heard a clicking sound of someone walking in high heels. And I thought, here comes the lab person. Then the sound stopped, but still, I didn't see anyone. So I thought the person might have gone into the lab a few doors away from the opposite side as the light was on. So I walked to the lab and called out, "Hello, anybody here?" Again, no reply. So I peeped through the door's glass panel. I still couldn't see anyone. So I walked back to the blood bank counter, and since no one was there, I went back to the ward and told my senior about it. Okay, never mind. I'll do it later," she said. I wasn't feeling eerie or spooked up. Actually, I was more curious about where that person had gone to. I relayed the incident to my colleague, and she told me that basement was formerly a morgue converted to labs. Here at Supernatural Confessions, we would like to remind you, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there. I'm pretty sure a lot of you would know where Mount A is, especially to Singaporean. So for those who have more stories about Mount A, do send it to us, your confessions. Next on, we have a confession from Abdul Shakir, and this one is titled Little Girl. Happened a few years ago when my friend was working at Toys R Us at one of the mall before it was renovated around almost a decade ago. Previously, that place was small, and if you entered the shop on the left, you would be able to see a door for staffs only. So, my friend was on a PM shift, which is an evening shift that fed full day. It's a weekday, if I remember vividly, and was working with four other staffs. Two of his colleagues were in the storeroom. So you guys, imagine it. They were sitting opposite each other on the floor and were doing stock check. Okay, do take note, the time when this incident happened, it was still early, around 6:30 to 7 p.m. And around that time, there would be plenty of visitors at the store. There are still people walking around, checking out the toys, with their families spending their time and whatnot. However, in that storeroom, there were just only two of them. One of them was facing the door, and the other one was facing a stacks of boxes, shelves, and etc. The one facing the shelves heard a noise inside the store, and they knew they were the only people there. So impossible there would be noises. Out of the blue, the person who was facing the shelves saw a young girl. The young girl was around 5 to 7 years of age, and she was wearing a red cheongsam, the one that looks like not from the current time, peeping from behind one of the shelves. At first, he thought the girl was one of the customer's kid who got lost. However, when he recalled, there were only two persons working in that store for the past 2 hours or so, and the storeroom is not accessible. Trying to feel brave and not letting his other colleague take it back, he kept quiet and signaled to his colleague to leave the premise quietly and quickly. Once outside, when asked, he then told his colleague what happened. They spoke to their manager, and what the manager said was, "It is indeed not the first time." So who? It's that little girl.
Yeah,
to the end of this episode of Supernatural Confessions. If you have enjoyed this episode, please rate us with a 5-star review on whichever platform you are streaming this podcast on. Go on and tell your friends and family about us. You can find more of our content on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Search for keyword Supernatural Confessions. If you or someone you know have a confession to make, visit supernaturalconfessions.com. You can send it in text, voice memo, or even video format. Let us know if you want your identity to be kept secret. Supernatural Confessions is created by Eugene Tay. Until the next episode, my name is Kim, your host for this podcast series, signing off with, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there.